The last occasion that I was preaching here on a Sunday, we looked at the previous verse, and it is verse 18 where it says, he was laid in iron. Of course, that is referring to the fetters in the prison dungeon where Joseph had been put, and he was there, due to no fault of his own. He was there as a prisoner. And the last time we looked at his life, we mentioned the supervision of God. God, in his providence, had allowed Joseph to go to prison. And I think we mentioned to you that it was far, far better for him to go to prison and to suffer for doing that which was right than to offend the Lord by doing that which was wrong. But Lord, God in his providence had allowed him to be put in the prison cell. We can also say that in the supervision of God, God was protecting him without exception. Any other person who had been accused, as he had been accused, would have instantly been put to death. There were very severe penalties in those days in Egypt for harming a woman in any way. And certainly Joseph had seen some favour before Potiphar, but Potiphar had not the character to simply acquit the man and say, away you go, I know what she's like, it was her fault. And that's what he really should have said, because he did not, as we mentioned on another occasion, believe his wife at all. There was a supervision of God and the shaping of God. God was strengthening his character and moulding him. And we can also say that God was everything to him in the prison, because we read in the Word that God showed him mercy. We read that in the book of Genesis. He knew God's love continually. He still knew God's care. He still enjoyed communion with the Lord. And importantly, he knew the cheer that only the Lord can give. Sometimes we sing, in fact, quite often, because we like the hymn, "Who can cheer the heart like Jesus?" And while there are many who can encourage you, there's no doubt about that. There's no one, no one at all, who can cheer your heart like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I state the obvious to say that trial was something which young Joseph had become accustomed to. The trial of being mistreated by his brothers. He had the trial of being accused by Potiphar's wife, by not being released by Potiphar, and by the rigors of dungeon life. It seems that for him he was tossed up and down by random blows. And any anticipation that he had at any given time regarding his release or an improvement in the situation, it seems that those anticipations were all short-lived. They were short-lived. But again, we must remember that sometime before this, God had spoken to Joseph in a very clear way about the future. God had shown him that he would be great. And Joseph, perhaps in his naivety, had gone to his brothers. But nonetheless, we have to say that events in his life seemed to reinforce the mocking of his brothers. And the events that were happening to him seemed to point to the improbability that God's promise to him would ever be fulfilled. And sometimes all he had was that which the Lord had spoken to him. Do you remember we mentioned way back at the start how the Lord spoke to him in a dream? Well, as we read here in the Psalm 105, the word of the Lord tried him. That's what the reference is to. He believed what God said and showed him with all of his heart. He went running out to his brothers with his coat of many colours on, and he was talking about these dreams and what was going to happen. He really, really believed what God had told him would happen. But now everything pointed to a very different situation. And rightly, we read in the Psalm, the word of the Lord tried him. I want you to notice some things this morning, and we trust as we look at this time in Joseph's life that you will be helped as well. We want you to notice first of all then, the trying of the word. Joseph had already victory over a spirit of vengeance. That must seem like a simple thing, but it's remarkable how many people don't get that victory and are out to get their own back. It was very important for him to get a victory over a spirit of vengeance, because if he had a vindictive spirit, then it would have eaten away at him. It would have ruined his communion with God. It would have, in some degree, hindered his effectiveness for the Lord. He got victory over that spirit of vengeance. He got victory over the pain that was caused to him by the accusation of Potiphar's wife. Didn't deserve to be accused in any way. He got victory over the pain that came when Potiphar didn't acquit him and release him altogether. He got victory over many situations that he found himself in adversity. The unchosen pathway of life and the passage of time itself. Folks, they combine together to place this man's faith under tremendous strain. They combine together, that is, the unchosen pathway of his life and the passage of time. They combined and they put his faith under terrible strain. And over this chapter, you could write the words that you find in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read them in verse 7. Verse 6 says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." The word means trials. Listen to this. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You could write that chapter. You could write those words over this chapter, over the incident in his life from he went into Egypt, and indeed even before that. Over there, James had something to say as well about trial. He said there in James chapter 1 and verse 2, "My brethren," he's speaking here to Christians, "count it all joy." The word "count," I think I've said to you before, means make sure it stays in your mind. Lead it carefully before your mind. Weigh it up very carefully. That's what he's saying here when he says "count." "Count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And there's no question about it. With the best will in the world, I'm sure there were those times when young Joseph had to give himself a shake and to think very carefully of just what the Lord had shown him all the years before. Because as the psalmist said, certainly the word of the Lord tried him. He believed what God had said. There's no question about that. And folks, as we gather here this morning, we can say that in a sense, the word of God tries us. It often tries us. Because when God speaks to you through his word, as he has done to his people down through the generations, sometimes all you have for it is what God has said to you. And you go out and you try to follow after the Lord in a certain way, and nothing seems clear. Everything seems to be a crooked pathway. Over there in Hebrews in chapter 11, that chapter is known as the great chapter of faith. It says in verse 1 of that chapter, and it's a very important statement. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then I'm just going to mention two of the people that are mentioned. It says in verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." There's a man who is believing the word with all of his heart. Other people are laughing. They're scoffing at this man Noah. You can, without going spending any more time on it, you can imagine yourself the building of the ark. And it had never rained before. The dew had watered about the earth. But he says it's going to be a flood and we need the ark. That is faith. Noah there was being tried by the word. Because all he had to hold on to was the word. The very next verse we read about Abraham, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." Here's a man who's actually moving on what direction he has been given. God has said, "Get out of here. Get out of there of the Chaldees." Doesn't know where he's going. But he's believing the word. He's hanging on to the word. And I'm sure there were those times in Abraham's life when he was feeling, "Well, the word of God is trying me. What God has said to me, I still believe it, but it hasn't happened yet. hasn't happened yet. In that sense, the Word of God often tries the church. But you know why the Word of God tried him? Even during that time, he was greatly helped. Joseph, when he came to the end of his ordeal in the prison cell, he had greater faith. He had greater faith. He had cultivated greater faith. He would need in the future to really lean upon God more and more. For we know that he was made the overseer of all of Egypt, and he became a man of great authority, and he had tremendous responsibility, a greater faith, but he had greater value to people. Because of his experience up until he came out of the prison, he was of greater value to Potiphar. He was able to trust the Lord more, of greater value to his family. He was more useful to the Lord. The Lord was able to say, well, there's a man, my word, tried him, I give him such and such a responsibility. And what a responsibility he had whenever the Lord brought him out of the prison. Do you remember what it says over there in Genesis chapter 49 concerning Joseph? We read this before when we were looking at the individual tribes. It says there in Genesis chapter 49 verse 22, it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Then it says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. That well describes his situation very often. Who were the archers? Was it his brothers? Was it Potiphar's wife? They had mistreated him. But it says there that he was indeed a fruitful vine, a fruitful vine. Even a fruitful vine by a well. What was the well? The well was the Word. The well was that which God had spoken unto him. Whenever he was in the prison cell, and the accusations had been flying around about him, and Potiphar, in some degree, had turned a blind eye to the mistreatment of Joseph in prison for a time. And he was there month after month after month. The archers were certainly firing their arrows at him. But it says his bow abode in strength. So here was a man who came out of his ordeal with greater faith, greater value for the people. He was a fruitful bough. He was a fruitful bough where he was. Where he was. The branches went over the wall, I believe, among the people where he was just at that time. And God was using him there. He came out with greater faith, greater value, but with greater spiritual perception. He would learn to not always judge the book by the cover. In other words, because things appeared to be in a certain way, that did not mean that that was going to be the end thereof. Over in the book of Psalms there, in the Psalm 119, if you begin to read at verse 65 under the Hebrew letter Teth, these verses are really to do with the witness of experience. That's what they're about. It says there, the psalmist says in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Did you see the word afflicted? It really means to be lowered. Before I was lowered, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. You picture young Joseph running around in his coat of many colours. The future seemed bright, the sun was shining for him, it all changed very quickly. Everything was going in a direction that he'd never dreamt of. You can rightly say when you picture him here in the prison that Joseph was lowered. But he says, but now I have kept thy word. His spiritual perception would have been greatly helped through this time of the trying of the word. And folks, this morning, if we just at this moment stick to the church of Jesus Christ. God has given great promises to his church. He's promised he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's promised where two or three meet together in his name, he'll be there. Now, whether you feel that or not is not the point. That is the promise of his word. He's promised his word will not return void. It still pleases God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He's also promised Christ has promised that one day he will return. And there are very many other promises to his word, and it seems that sometimes the skeptics and the atheists have many who find agreement with them when they say, listen, Christians have been saying this for years, but nothing ever changes. Isn't it right to say that the word of God tries the church? Tries the church? But yet we can say that at least we have the word. We have the word. We're right in the face of a mission starting next Sunday. And we went last year, and while there were some professed salvation, there were many who didn't. And while there were hundreds and hundreds of people invited, and some did come, quite a number, there were many who didn't. And yet we believe, and I know that you believe with us, that God's word is still the same as it was last May. And his promises are still the same, that he will build his church. That where two or three meet in the tent together, he'll be there. His word will not return void. It still pleases him through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why should we change when the word hasn't? We cannot change when the word has not changed. And young Joseph, he knew what it was to experience the trying of the word. And certainly it was for his benefit. You see, there's not only the trying of the word, but there is, secondly, then, the trusting of the word. Now, it would be unlikely that Joseph wasn't shaken. If we just even for a brief moment put ourselves in his position, he would have been shaken. Probably he had high hopes when he was so well looked after in Potiphar's house, but all of that had changed due to Potiphar's wife. And it would have been very easy for someone to crumble in his position. Indifference probably continuing to whisper in his ear, you're a fool. You're holding on to something that you dreamt years ago. You're full of imagination, Joseph. You need to give your shake and get rid of all this. But he trusted in what God had given to him. He held on to what God had given him. And throughout his confinement, he was enabled to offer the best service he could give. We can say that there were different duties. I'm sure when he ran out in the field and went to look for his brothers and so on, he had great thoughts in his mind. He never dreamt that one day he would be serving the Lord down in the prison cell, given the oversight of the prisoners there. And then we have the incidents with the butler and the beggar that we look at on another occasion and all of that. He had duty where he was. Tell me this morning, Christian, would you rather be doing something else? God has given you something to do, and yet you would rather be doing something else for the Lord than what you do. There's been many opportunities already to serve the Lord regarding the mission. I'm speaking of outreach and so on. And some people have done that. But would you rather be doing other things than what you do now? Remember this. God has given you duties to do where you are. And maybe what you're doing is exactly what the Lord wants you to do. I remember a minister saying one time that he was reading this individual. I'm not sure if he's a missionary or a minister. He's certainly a Christian worker. And wherever he was, it was extremely difficult, and he wanted to move, wanted to get away from there. And someone said to him, and this was very good counsel to him because it was put in a book, he said, no, don't move. He said, the people need you here. And what's more, God needs you here. And furthermore, you need to be here. Well, you could see how that person could see how the people needed him, and how God needed him there as an instrument. But when he said to him, you need to be here, it took him a wee minute or two to understand it, but the penny did drop. And he realized that even though it was very, very difficult, it was good for him to be there. And whenever Joseph was in a situation like that, he still trusted the word. His duties were far different from what he ever thought they would have been. But he looked to them. He looked to them. It's always good to remember what the word tells us. Whatever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I was speaking to a man the other day, and him and I agreed that both of us had never ever tried to get any position or anything in particular in our lives to do for the Lord. We asked the Lord to show us, and I don't say this by any way of boasting, but quite happy to do what we can. No desire to be anybody else of prominence or of repute or anything like that. Just want to do what God has given us to do. And that's a very, very good thing to remember, that the Lord has given you duties to do where you are. Nobody might notice them. Nobody made thank you for them. And certainly, who would have been watching Joseph in the prison? But still, he served the Lord there. He had different duties, and there was indeed a different outcome. He didn't really know what was happening. But he believed God. I mentioned earlier in this message that he went away and told his brothers, "Oh, guess what God has told me? It's going to happen." He really believed the Lord. And from that time, it seems to have been all downhill. That could be very strange to a non-Christian reading the Bible. He believed God and he made much of what God had shown him. And then from then on, it was all downhill. But not in God's eyes. For if you look there in the Psalm 105, look what it says. Verse 17. He sent a man before them. You see, there is the overruling providence of God. God sent him there, and we will see on other occasions what a benefit that would be. He was later to say himself, God meant it for good. God meant it for good. There's a far different outcome from what there seemed there was going to be when he was in the prison. Remember the three Hebrew children who were cast into the fire, the fiery furnace? As far as many were concerned, it was over for them. What a different outcome there was. Remember Daniel in the den of lions? Who would ever have survived that? And yet the Lord overruled for his glory. There was a different outcome. Christian, whatever you do for the Lord, do it the best you can. As I said many a time, no one person can do everything, but there's something for every one person to do. Do it the best you can. And who knows what a great outcome there can be. There was different duties, a different outcome. But think of the duration of his time in prison and the trusting of the word. Well, over there, and I read it for you, I turned it earlier, Genesis 49, verse 24, it says, but his bow abode in strength. The word strength there is a word which means perennial or something which goes on and on and on. We're speaking here about Joseph's bow. He's been shot up by the archers, but his bow abode in strength. And that's important for the Christian, to know that when the fiery darts of the devil are being shot at you, which certainly they were at Joseph, to know that your own bow abides in strength, that it continues on and on and on. I was reading fairly recently there in Deuteronomy 33 about the tribe of Asher and some of the words that were spoken to that tribe. I'll just read it for you, verse 25 of Deuteronomy 33. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. In other words, when there's little difficulty, you'll not need as much strength. But when there's great difficulty, you will get great strength. In fact, the word strength, translated here, strength, in the Hebrew, literally means flowing wealth. It's a word that means that your strength will flow to you, and it will be a great source of wealth to you. That's what Joseph could say during the duration of his time in the prison cell. As thy days are, so shall thy strength be. That's still the case with God's people. As thy days are, so shall thy strength. It's easy for the church these days regarding persecution, because in this country there really is none worth talking about. But in days of persecution, ordinary people like us managed to keep on worshipping and keep on serving the Lord in the face of great persecution and problem. Why? Because as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. We always want tomorrow's strength today, and I'm no exception. We want it today. Or we want something written down before us promising that we're going to get all the strength that we need. It doesn't work that way. But as your days are, so shall your strength be. I'm going to read a verse for you in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says there in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that includes you, Christian. And it says, shall suffer persecution. Yes, the authorities are not here trying to close the church. There are no terrorists trying to burn it down with all of us in it. But nonetheless, the word persecution there can be applied to the devil and how he chases after you. Because that word persecution, it literally means to pursue. So all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall be pursued, or to follow hard after. And that's what was happening to Joseph. Remember Paul on another occasion, he said he would have come to certain people, but Satan hindered. The word hindered means he cut in. And you can say, Christian, Many a time you know that the devil has pursued you, he's followed after you, he's fired darts at you, and he's cut in and he's hindered you. Remember Job, godly Job, and you remember what Satan had to say concerning him. Hast thou not made a hedge about him? That was a great speck, wasn't it? Because he recognized that while he caused misery and hardship and trouble for Job, he recognized that over all and in all, God was protecting him. Because where it says, as I not made a hedge about him, the word hedge means to cover or to protect. In other words, it was only, the abuse that Job got was only with God's permission. Same for Joseph. And the Bible says, as we read just a minute or two ago there, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, shall be pursued. Satan will follow you. He will fire darts at you. He will cut in. He will try to make you miserable and unhappy. But remember this, you're safe for eternity as far as your soul is concerned. And even in life, he can only attack with God's permission. We sang earlier, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. And that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do even regarding the mission. People might not like it being there. I trust that no one will object to it, but that would be unlikely. Some people may not like it there. Very few outsiders may come, but that doesn't change anything. God's word is still the same. The promises are still in his word concerning his word. And you and I are still to trust his word, as Joseph did. So there was the trying of the word, the trusting of the word, but then there was the triumphing of the word. Look again, please, at Psalm 105. It says in verse 19, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. You see, God had, as it were, his hand upon the thermometer. God had his hand upon the thermometer. Do you remember whenever Peter was in prison in Acts chapter 12? And the church there were praying for him. The Lord delivered him. In that chapter, you will note at the very start, it says that James, the brother of John, was killed with the sword. He was delivered as well, but just in a different way. Peter was delivered from prison when the people prayed. And if I can apply it to ourselves at this particular time, how does the word triumph? Well, you and I need to pray that what God says will happen, and that it will happen in McGabbery. That the word of the Lord would free course and be glorified, and that souls would be snatched from the verge of hell. You know something? Whenever we think of the triumphing of the word, we cannot limit it to the time whenever Joseph was released from prison, because the word triumphed with him. Even though it was still trying him, and he was still trusting it, it had triumphed on various occasions before that, many a time. Because Joseph learned some very important things. During his times of trial there, he learned to cease from man. Now, I don't say that in a cold or being distant or being hard or anything like that. He ceased from man. He had learned that he needed to trust in the Lord. And while you have people you can trust and will help you, I would like to think that if you need me to help you, and I can, I will. I'm sure you would help me too. But you know, we need to continue to look to the Lord. Those who loved him should have loved him the most. They despised him. Those who should have respected him in the house, they despised him. He learned to cease from man. He learned to cease from self. I'm sure whenever the Lord had said he was going to be great, he had already some plans in his mind that he wanted to do and how he was going to do things and so on. He learned to look to the Lord for it all and trust the Lord to make the crooked paths straight for him. He ceased from man. He ceased from self. They can say that he cherished the word. When he remembered what God had said to him, that would have been a comfort to him. It would have given him hope. And Christian, when you and I remember what God has said concerning the gospel, does that not give us hope? It gives us comfort. It certainly gives us hope and comfort as we go forward to the mission, because we're holding on to the word. Over there in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 8, it says, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, That's what we would ask of you at this time. Cease not the cry unto the Lord, Lord our God, for us. If you can do nothing different for the mission in McGabry, pray for it. Do pray for it. If you can't get out of the prayer meetings, pray at home for it. Because when we mention Peter there, we can say concerning Peter in prison that the angel released Peter, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Prayer that fetched the angel. And if men and women are to be snatched as brands from the burning in McGabry, I believe it will be in answer to prayer. There was a triumphing of the word in his life, even before he was released. But then there was conquering by the word. He became a man who was confident in the Lord, even in the prison. And he was able to administrate. He was able to be greatly used of the Lord there. And the time come when the day would dawn that he would get out. Now that's going to be another message for another time. But I trust today that we've said enough to encourage us all to remember God's word. Remember the trying of the word. Because God promises that he'll build his church, it doesn't mean it's going to be done to all tomorrow. He's promised to be in our midst. And if you feel that he's not there, that doesn't mean he's not there. He's promised to bless his word. And when you preach the gospel dozens and dozens and dozens of times, and there's one saved here and one next year and two the year after that and none for 3 years after that or whatever it happens to be, that doesn't change anything regarding the word. We have to still keep praying and to still keep presenting the word, trusting the word and relying upon the Lord. Now we will look at Joseph when we come back again next Sunday morning, God willing. We trust that you have been helped today through what you've heard, and you'll learn to value the word even more and more, and trust the Lord to do his own work regarding the word.